So glad you're here with us to worship this morning, whether you're new or not new. Glad to have you. Or back. Glad to have you all this morning. No place I'd rather be than is with a bunch of believers worshiping the Lord on Sunday morning. Amen? Before we go any further, let's pray. Eternal God, thank you for your grace. We've sung about it this morning. It's so good. So good. For by grace are we saved through faith, the Apostle Paul writes. Thank you, Father. Your grace has been willing to go further than our sin took us away from you. Your grace is reaching out to us like the prodigal when we have wandered away. Your grace is so good. We recognize, Lord, your grace does not give us a license to keep sinning, but we are so thankful for your grace and the shed blood of Jesus to deal with that problem too. Father, as we look at Scripture this morning, I pray that your Spirit would lead. My mouth would proclaim your words. Our ears would hear from your Spirit. And so I pray, Father, as we gather here for our second service, and churches are gathering all over our community, our region, our state, and our nation, that your will would be done, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up. And if there are indeed idols and small g gods in our lives, that you would make us aware of those and we would address that dilemma. And so speak to us today, Father, by your Spirit, through your word. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for watching over those of ours that are sick, hurting, wandering, lonely, and trying to recover. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Guide us. We've come to worship you and to hear from you. O Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, most of you have been with us the last couple of weeks to know that I've been speaking from the Old Testament in different places. And I'm going to speak from the Old Testament again today, maybe even next week, as the Lord leads, we'll see, I guess. But we've talked about the idea of woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And I guess if really any one of a dozen topics could fit into that category today. But that goes along with what I want to say today, as well as last week's topic from Numbers 32, when Moses said to the children of Israel, "And be sure your sin will find you out," knowing that sin will catch up to us. And so I thought that this scripture today from Joshua 24 went along with those topics, and we can kind of roll this all in together. And so if you've got your Bible, I'm in Joshua 24, and I know that when I get to 24:15, most of you will say, well, I know that verse. You're aware of that verse. You're familiar with that verse, and which is good. But I just want to bring us the story here from Joshua 24:14 to 21 and challenge us a little bit today from it. And so, let me read us some scripture. You follow along on the big screen or in your Bible if you have one with. "Now therefore, fear the Lord." This is Joshua to the children of Israel. "Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt." And again he says, serve the Lord. Now if you know the history, I'm going to go on here in a moment, but if you know the history, you know that all of the nations around there were heathen and had their own gods. including where Abraham was called from out of Ur of Chaldees across the other side of the river, in this case now several hundred years earlier. But every nation had their own god. Every nation had their own little idols. And so Joshua is challenging the people, put away those gods that your forefathers were all about and knew. Serve the Lord. Then the verse that most of you I know are familiar with. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then the Bible says in this story, so the people that were listening, the people of Israel at that day, so they answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord. In other words, they're saying, we wouldn't do that to serve other gods. For the Lord, they even add to the argument, our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwell in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua then responds to that argument, that rebuttal. You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said, no, but we will serve the Lord. You all know enough about these verses, I think, to know that Joshua is about to, as the Bible says, go the way of his fathers. He's getting old now. He's led the children of Israel into the promised land. He took the baton from Moses and he crossed the Jordan and they ran off and extinguished most of the heathen nations that were there. And he is in fact about to die. And he's challenging these people of God, these children of Israel, to stay focused. Stay connected to God. Stay obedient to the ways of God. He's challenging them that way. And Joshua says in his last sermon to them, he's telling them with clarity, you have to choose. And they say, we will choose. We have chosen. And Joshua is telling them, you will have to continue to choose. Because the God of your fathers on the other side of the Euphrates, or the God of the Egyptians where we just come from, or the God of the Amorites in whose land we dwell, they will rise up and you will have to continue to choose. Are you going to follow the living God? Or are you going to grab up one of those again and bow down to it? And so he's telling them, you have to choose. And you have to keep choosing. And we too, friends, have to choose. We have to choose on a daily basis. Not to be born again, because when you've been born again, praise be to God, you've been born again. But we have to choose, will I follow Jesus? We have to choose to follow the living God and not allow these other gods that'll pop up in our lives. We have to choose daily. As Jesus said, we have to be willing to deny ourselves daily and take up our cross and follow him. We have to choose in the morning, will I surrender this day to the living God or some other God? And that's what he's telling them. And we too, brothers and sisters, 21st century, it may not be the same God that that Joshua was talking about to those people. It may be a different set. But we have to choose. Some of you saw in one of my recent posts, I post once a week or so, some scripture and some encouragement. And I posted a little while ago, today we are confused. We are confused in America about a lot of things. Are we not, brothers and sisters? You know what I'm talking about? We're confused. We're confused about sexuality. We're confused about what's really important. We get all excited about all kind of stuff that has no eternal value. We're confused about a lot of things. Confused about right and wrong. We talked about woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And we could talk about a whole lot more about that, but we're confused. My point is this. Joshua is talking to the people of God and reminding them, don't let the gods of these other places confuse you, because we do not serve a God of confusion. The enemy of our souls is the one of confusion. And Joshua is telling these people, do not let these confuse your thinking, because they will. And so, he reminded them, even though sometimes it seems foggy and blurry, you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to sort through the confusion, and you're going to have to choose the living God. Let me say this from what Joshua started this particular set of verses with. He said, now therefore fear the Lord. I wonder anymore in America, even in the church, do we fear the Lord? Do we even know what it means? I fear we have little fear. I fear even though the Old Testament talks about fear, and we don't like to talk about that because we'd rather talk about grace and love and so on, but I figure and fear myself that we have forgotten what Joshua told the people when he said the very first start of this passage, fear the Lord. Don't forget He is God. And all throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament, we see the phrase about the wrath of God. Just in our Bible study here a week and a half ago on Wednesday morning, we were talking from Colossians 3 and 6, and the Apostle Paul told the church there, he said, the wrath of God is coming on all sons of disobedience. And Romans 1 talks about, and all kinds of places talk about the wrath of God. Friends, we cannot exclude, we talk about the grace of God, but on the same side of that coin is the wrath of God. He will judge. He will not compete for our idols. He loves you. I said this earlier service, and I want you to understand this. He loves you. He loves us. He loves people. No matter how far sin took us away from Him, He loves you, but He will not compete for your idols. He will not compete for your gods. He is a jealous God. Joshua just reminded, fear Him. Understand who He is. And follow Him. When Joshua said to them, you have to choose between the gods of your fathers on the other side of the river, that meant there's a lot of options. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there's a lot of options today also. Are you still with me? Are you getting too tired? There's a lot of options. He was talking about the gods on the other side of the Euphrates, or those in Egypt from which they had just come, or the Amorites of whose land they now dwell. There was a lot of choices, and there is for us too. Oh, we don't bow down to Chemosh or Molech or Baal like they did, but there are a lot of gods fighting for your attention, my attention, your time, my time. There's a lot of them in America today, and many of them have worked their way into the church. I know we don't like to think that we're a bunch of idol worshipers and God doesn't want us to be, but if we are not careful, these things have a way of creeping in. And that's what Joshua is talking about. Choose. Choose you this day. Give me that first slide, please. You have to choose. You have to choose often. And he reminds them, you cannot serve the Lord if you're going to serve the God of pleasure. You cannot serve the Lord if you're going to serve the God of self. Now, we don't like to think about that, but I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I and we have been guilty at bowing down to the God of pleasure and self. Oh, I want it this way. I want what I want. I deserve this. I deserve that. And Joshua is telling him, you better choose if you're going to bow at the God of yourself or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we may not have the gods on the other side of the Euphrates or from Egypt, but we have many that are alive and well in America, and way too many that are alive and well in the church today. We have to choose. Am I going to bow down to the idol of pleasing and amusing myself? Friends, I see it, I read it, I hear about it all the time. We get caught up in that wrestling match of amusement. And if we are not extremely careful, we will have to ask ourselves, has this massive amount of energy going into amusing myself, or this massive amount of money going into myself and my pleasures, has that become a God that Joshua said, you better choose, because you cannot serve the Lord if this stuff has entered in. And then there's the gods that have entered into the church houses of America today of covetousness, greed, and lust. Oh yes, they're very alive and well. We, like the world, are not satisfied with God alone. The Israelites, all you got to do is read the Old Testament and you'll see. They didn't tear down the temple. They didn't take down the tabernacle. They still had it. They still had the Ark of the Covenant. Some of them even kept some occasional feasts, but they started to incorporate into all of that all this other stuff. And we today have to be very, very careful that we don't allow the idol, the god of lust and covetousness and greed, to come alongside, because that what we're saying in our heart, that God alone is not enough. I need some more. That's what they said. I need some more. We fill our closets and our barns and our houses and our garages and our sheds with stuff. I need some more. We must be careful about these idols and these gods. Watchman Nee said it this way, and I quote, "The Lord wants those who follow Him to follow Him perfectly. The Lord wants those who follow Him to follow Him perfectly, not lacking in anything." And he further says, people cannot follow God if they have solved 99 of their problems, but yet have one problem unsolved. To follow God demands the whole being. It must be all or not at all. And that's exactly what Joshua is saying about our idols, about our gods. It's all to God or nothing. And if we're still allowing these others to filter in, that's why Joshua said what he said. You cannot serve the Lord if you're going to bow down to this, if you're going to let these keep creeping in, if you're going to keep picking up them idols. You cannot serve the Lord, people of Israel, people of the 21st century church. If you're going to keep letting that stuff come back into your life, you cannot serve the Lord, Joshua said. And then, in the 21st century, we may not be bowing down to the Baals and the Asherah poles. You know what the Asherah poles were? God of sexuality. But brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, let me assure you, we are bowing down to the idols of sex and sexuality, even in the church houses of America. We are bowing down to that. We have given in to the culture that says, It's fine. If the Lord said it's not fine, it's still not fine. We have bowed down to that God. We have bowed down to that idol of sexuality and sensuality. And we have done exactly what the children of Israel did when, they kept the temple. They kept the Ark of the Covenant. They thought they had this connection with God, and yet they bowed down to the Baals and the Asherah poles of sexuality. Let me have a little of this along with this, is what they were guilty of. And that's why he told them then, and he's telling us now, you have to choose. Because you can't have it both ways. You cannot serve the Lord if you're going to let the God of sexuality come in and affect you and influence you and take you away in sin. You can't do both. We need to repent and walk away from that. Because even in the church, we're bowing down to this idol. We're struggling about what it even means. We're struggling about the definition of it. Even in the church, we are bowing down to this idol. I could say so much more, but the time is getting away. But what about the gods of addiction? What about the gods of drunkenness or pornography or overeating or pills? Or what about the god of pride in my title? Oh, look at me, I'm a pastor. So what, God says? What about the idols of sports? I like sports, don't get me wrong, but sometimes we put these entertainers, musicians, sports figures, movie stars, whatever, up here on this pedestal, and all of a sudden they've replaced the Almighty God. And I'm simply suggesting to us, as Joshua did in that verse, and it says on the screen, you cannot serve the Lord if we're going to have all these other gods. You can't do both. So the people answered and said, next slide, please. So people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve the other gods. And sometimes that's how we feel. No, I won't go there, Jim. And Jim sometimes says, no, I won't go there. And for a while, we follow the Lord. And then here comes one of those idols. And we pick it up, just like they did in the Old Testament. And it starts to take our time. And it starts to take our interest. And the more it takes of our time, interest, talents, the less time I have for the Almighty God. And that's precisely why Joshua said, you have to choose. You have to choose. Because you cannot serve the Lord and serve these foreign gods. You cannot do both. Joshua said, you cannot serve the Lord. He's holy. He's jealous. He won't compete with your lust. He won't compete with your greed. He won't compete with your idols, your selfishness. He's holy and he is just. You cannot serve the Lord, Joshua said, and serve these foreign gods. And so, friends, what does that mean to us? It simply means the same thing. You can't do both. The Israelites had to choose. They had to choose that day, and they had to choose the next generation. They had to choose. Are you really going to follow the Lord? Are you really sold out to Jesus? Or does he just get what's left over? Well, if it's convenient, or if I have any money, or if I have any time, I might get to church, I might take time to read his word, I might pray. Does he get what's left over? Because that's not what Joshua's talking about. And so let me ask us this to ponder, and I'll wrap it up. Here's what it boils down to in the 21st century. Do I really love God more than my pleasure? Pleasing myself, amusing myself. Do I really love God more than my rights? more than the idea, well, I deserve this or I deserve that. Do I really love God more than my title, my habits, my sexual desire, my lust, my paycheck, my comfort? Do I really love God more? Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it is those idols or the one true God. I said this, I think it was a week or so ago. I'll say it again and close. Right or wrong, in society today, is not decided by popular vote, as much as we might want to think it is. Well, we decided. The majority said. Well, that's what's being taught. Well, that's what the Supreme Court legalized. Right and wrong is not decided by that. Right and wrong has been established by the living God. And Joshua is just suggesting and building on that. He's reminding them, as he's reminding us in the 21st century, don't get confused about right and wrong. Recognize where it comes from. It comes, the absolute rights and wrongs come from the Word of God. Don't get confused about that and let these other gods start bogging you down. And so Joshua reminds us, we better choose. We better choose which one we're going to serve, because we cannot do both. And so may I encourage us, surrender, people of God. First of all, if you haven't been born again, if you haven't given your life completely to Christ, that's where we start. Repent, believe, receive, and follow Jesus. Surrender to Him. And if you have, it's still a choosing. Will I follow God today, or am I going to follow myself and my pleasure and all the stuff I've already talked about? We have to choose. And if we're caught up in the stuff, brothers and sisters, we got to repent. We got to repent of that stuff and get it in the past, get it behind. We've got to choose Jesus. We've got to choose God. We got to follow Him. And then we can say with authority, and I hope we mean it and live it, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said, and that's what he's challenging us with. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so as we prepare for communion, friends, it's time to examine our hearts. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, as the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, before we come to the communion table and partake of the elements of the cup and the bread, we need to examine ourselves. Am I right with God? Have I repented of my sin? Have I walked away from it? Have I trusted Christ as Lord for my salvation? Have I applied the grace of God? And so we're going to take a minute to examine ourselves and make sure we're right with God by faith, surrendered faith, before we pray and take up the elements together.
And let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we move from this place today into our mission field this week, we ask just Holy Spirit to come upon us, challenge our hearts, burden our souls with those areas that we have compromised and put in greater priority than falling on our knees before a holy God, our Father. Help us in those challenging areas this week to forsake those ways and to fully worship, serve, and look forward to seeing you face to face one day. So, Father, may we take the hour and be mindful that you are with us even till the end of the age. Help us to serve you well, to give you glory, and to bring others into the kingdom. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.